Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see all of those who could make it back this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word. As we have written on the board here, we're going to talk about a little bit about bondage this afternoon. And another term for this would be slavery, and how slavery is talked about in both the Old and New Testament, and how, as unlikely as it may seem, it applies to us even today. Our text this afternoon comes from 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. As we see Peter writing in his epistle here, he's talking about people who had been converted to Christianity out of the pagan world, and how the things that they had taken part in before they were converted had drawn them back into those sins and had drawn them away from the truth. And we know that this is something that puts people in a very bad situation with God. If you remember in the book of Revelations, Jesus says that he would rather a person be cold or hot. He said if they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth. So we kind of get ourselves in a worse situation than we were in before we knew the truth, if we accept the truth and then allow ourselves to be drawn away from it. The illustration that we'd like to use this afternoon to give an idea of this is, as we said, we're going to talk a little bit about slavery and how different forms of slavery or different things can be looked upon as slavery, and it gives us a better understanding of the things that we are to, what we are to do as Christians and what we are to stay away from. We know that throughout both the Old and the New Testament, we can read about slavery. We even think about in the world today. It's hard to believe, but it was in 1865 that the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was passed that abolished slavery in this country. That was only 140 years ago. And so we see that this is something that until very recently in our own history here in this country, slavery was something that was accepted. It was something that people took part in, and unfortunately many people took for granted. And we know it eventually took the Civil War in this country, When people became so polarized in their opinions and their thoughts of what it would be, that it caused a war that I think, if I remember correctly, as many Americans died in that war than in World War I or World War II, and that's because it was Americans fighting Americans, and it was all about the idea of being able to own another person. And we know the Constitution, when it was first written, said that all men are created equal, and yet slavery shows that all men are not created equal, and it causes a great deal of animosity between peoples of different nations and different races as well. We know that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the authors of the Scriptures have used the idea of servitude and slavery to help us to gain a greater understanding of the things that God has planned for mankind, and how man's interference often gets him into conflict with the things that God would have him to do. As Dennis wrote out this morning very well, when man steps in and tries to, when he thinks he's improving or making better the things that God has, we know that really what happens is chaos ensues, and we find many people who feel that they are serving God and doing the things that God wants them to do when in fact they're in conflict with the plan that God has for man, because they choose to go out on their own and try to please God in their own way instead of simply doing what God tells them to do. We realize, as we said, one can find themselves in the position of being a slave in various ways, and throughout history, and as we see in the Scriptures, One of the most common ways that one became a slave was by being captured or overrun by an opposing force. Usually what happened is when two countries or two areas got into a battle, many times the victorious party would just go in and kill everybody and try to wipe out their enemies. Other times, they would take the people that were healthy and could be controlled. They would take them and make them slaves. And of course, this automatically set up a feeling of animosity between the masters and the servants, because they already disliked each other. They wouldn't have been in a war in the first place. And then when one party has to become the servants of another, it creates an unfortunate situation. But many times the ones who became slaves realized this would be the only way that they would be able to continue to live, as if they served those who were victorious over them. Other times, an invading force would capture these people, and instead of making them slaves themselves, they would sell them off to other people in order to further subsidize their invasions, or to simply to get gain from them. If they didn't need them as slaves, they would sell them to someone else. And again, as we realize, the purchase of slaves was permitted in the United States even for the first 98 years that this country was in existence. People were allowed to buy and sell slaves, and it was, again, the final polarization of people against this that caused the Civil War, and to this day, it still causes many people to have feelings of racial hatred or racial bias against other people, and that happens on both sides, both whites against blacks and blacks against whites. But many of the feelings that people have on this subject are a direct result of slavery and what it did to this country and how it almost ruined this country. Also, I'd like to read now a scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread away at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Now this scripture is talking about a slave that belonged to Saul, who we know David replaced as the first king of Israel. And this Ziba was a slave of Saul, and yet he owned slaves himself. So we can see in the Old Testament even slaves were allowed to have other slaves. And this is something that seems kind of weird, but it took place. And there's many things, too many that more than we have time to cover this afternoon, things that you can read about, especially in the Old Testament, concerning slaves and how they were to be treated. They were to be treated fairly and kindly, and there were conditions for releasing slaves after so many years if they fell under certain conditions, and there were a lot of provisions made so that these people weren't abused, unlike we've seen in other countries and other times. Even though they were allowed to have slaves, they were to treat them in a proper manner. And we see this even into the New Testament, and how Jesus and the apostles encouraged people that were in that situation, if they were a slave, that they were to obey their masters and everything that was in keeping with the things of the church. They weren't to do things contrary to what God teaches. Just like today, when we say we're to obey the laws of the country in which we live, as long as it doesn't conflict with our religious beliefs. And they encourage servants to be the same way, and they encourage masters to treat their servants fairly. So it was part of God's plan, and God knew that this was going to be a situation that was going to exist for quite a several hundred years after Jesus came, and there was a provision made for that situation. And as we can see, we can also apply, as we're going to look at a little later, you can also apply the theme or the dynamic of the slave-master relationship can be applied as an illustration to other things as well. We can also find that sometimes criminals were forced into slavery as a way of paying back their debt or being punished for what they had done wrong. And we often wonder in this country if the people that were criminals that were put in jail had to work a little harder, maybe they'd be less inclined to do the things that they do. But we have so many groups in this country that try to fight for the rights of criminals and say that they shouldn't have fair and unusual punishment and things of this nature, that they just kind of sit around if they had to work, they probably wouldn't, maybe not, but a few of them may be less inclined to do the things that got them in trouble in the first place if they knew there was some more of a punishment than to sit in an air-conditioned cell and watch TV all the time. But nevertheless, this was something that was done even back in that day, is sometimes if a criminal had done something that wasn't worthy of being executed, they would be forced into slavery as a way of settling their debt with whoever they had wronged. A final way that people became slaves in those days was by being in what's known as an indentured servant. These would be people who, for whatever reason, had found themselves in a an amount of debt that they couldn't figure a way, or they had no means of getting out of. So they would agree to a predetermined length of time in which they would more or less become a slave to someone, and once their time had been put in, they were allowed to go free when their debt had been settled. So there's various ways that people could become a slave. In the Old Testament, we see the Jews often found themselves in bondage as a direct result of punishment for disobeying God and for doing things contrary to what He had told them to do. And oftentimes by pushing God past the limits of His patience. When God chose the nation of Israel to be His chosen people, we realize that they were under the bondage of Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. They were all slaves over there. They were making bricks and mortar to construct pyramids and tombs and things of this nature for the nation of Egypt. And we realize that they would eventually be let go from Egypt, but again and again they would know bondage as a punishment from God. And this, of course, is supposed to be an example to us today when we go back and read it and realize that there are consequences for our actions, and especially spiritually. If we decide to live a life that's contrary to the things that the Bible teaches us, we must realize and accept there's going to be a punishment for that, and one day that we're going to have to pay for that insubordination or that failure to do what God would have us to do. And we certainly don't want to find ourselves in that position, and we don't want anyone else to be in that position either. We'd like to influence as many people as we can to avoid the fate that waits for all of those who do things contrary to God's will. As Christians, we should constantly examine ourselves and make sure that we haven't allowed ourselves to fall back into slavery or to become slaves to sin again. And this, of course, directly relates back to our text that we read, where Peter talks about these people who had backslid back into sin. He says that their lives were reflected in the true proverb, the dog that turned again to his own vomit, or the pig that was washed goes right back to wallowing in the mud, because an animal doesn't know better. They do what they react to the instincts that God has given them, and they don't know any different, but a man does. A man knows right from wrong. When he's learned right from wrong and reached the age of accountability, he's responsible for his actions to other people, to himself, and especially to God. And it's important for us to realize that and examine ourselves and realize that eventually we're responsible for our own actions, and we're going to be judged accordingly. We realize that God wants us to love and obey Him through His Son Jesus and of our own free will. God is not a God who forces people into subjection unto Him. We know that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. He doesn't want anyone to suffer an eternity in torment, but it's up to our free will whether we choose to do the things that are pleasing to Him, that make us able to receive a reward in heaven, or if we just refuse to come to terms with what He wants us to do and live the way we want, we have to be ready to accept the consequences for that as well. When we look at the Jews, especially in the time and when Jesus was here upon the earth, one of the things that the Jews had a real problem, and we can read this several times in the Gospels, their religion had gotten to the point where so many things have been added to it other than what God had intended, that they felt burdened by all the things that they had to do. They had all these holy days that they had to observe, and there were days when they weren't allowed to work, and the different feasts and everything they had to keep, and it almost got to the point where they resented their religion. And this is something, of course, that we never want to find ourselves in that situation. We realize that God has a plan for us, and He has a way that we're to worship Him, and we're to stick to the way that He teaches us, just like, again, like Dennis pointed out this morning. We have a responsibility as Christians not only to observe things the way that the Bible tells us to do it, but to teach others and to help them to understand why it is that we do things in this way. And because we do that, we actually free ourselves from the burden of having to try to figure out the way to do it ourselves. God makes it very simple for us by laying out in the Scriptures how He wants us to worship Him, how He wants us to do the communion, how we are to be saved, the steps of salvation. It's all clear and easy for us to understand, and He doesn't want us to become a slave to the doctrines of men and to turning things around and trying to make them appealing to the least common denominator, which is what we see the world doing. The world tries to make it attractive to draw people into different organizations, and they become a slave to fallacy instead of the truth. I'd like now to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning of verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. This is one of the things I think people have a hard time understanding about the Scriptures and about becoming a Christian, is it makes you free. It makes you free from sin. And a lot of people just don't. I think it's so simple that they don't see it. But when we become a Christian, when we accept Jesus and take the steps of salvation, we're free from our sins. All of our sins are washed away. They no longer have a hold over us. And we can come forward from baptism and have a desire to do all the things that God would have us to do, and to refrain from the things that we may have done in our past life that are contrary to His Word. Sometimes this is easy, sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes people have genuine hurdles to overcome. There are so many things in the world that people don't recognize as sin. We think about the many different substances that people can become addicted to, and it's not only things that you can ingest in your body. There's gambling and any number of things that the world takes for granted as being all right and encourages people, everyone, to participate in, that are contrary to the things that God would have us to do, and they become addicting. And the more you become addicted to something like that, the harder it is to get away from it. And when we look at sin and recognize sin as being the same thing, it's easier for us to overcome it. When we think about, oh, it's okay to do this or that as long as I don't let it go too far, and there's nothing in the Scriptures that tell us what's too far. We have to be honest with ourselves and realize the things that lead us astray, and put those things out of our life and don't become a slave to them. Because when you think about addiction, that's exactly what you become. An alcoholic becomes a slave to the bottle. A drug addict becomes a slave to whatever drug they're addicted to. They're no longer in control of their lives. Whatever this substance is that they're abusing, it has control of them and tells them what to do and where to go and how to act. And as a Christian, we know that we only want to be under Jesus. We only want to do the things that He would have us to do. And He doesn't want us to be a servant in that regard. He wants us to come to Him of His free will. But as He said, as Jesus Himself said when He washed the feet of the apostles at the Last Supper, He was doing that to show that we must become servants to others, and we must do the best that we can to teach them and to help them, and that we can't think too highly of ourselves, but we have to think of ourselves constantly in a position of being one who's serving God and attempting to serve others in finding the truth. Another thing that we find comes out of slavery, as we mentioned before, and it's an unfortunate thing that's happened especially in this country, is the lack of respect that people seem to have for others because of their color or where they're from. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." We also know that the scriptures teach us that God is no respecter of person when it comes to bond or free, Jew or Gentile, male or female. God loves each and every one of us if we return that love to him. As we said, he doesn't want anyone to perish regardless of where they're from or what they do or who they are. God wants us all to come to him, and we certainly should realize that if God has no is no respecter of persons, and certainly we shouldn't be either. Everyone, we should be the type of a person that treats everyone the same, and with the same regard that that God holds, that no one person is better than anyone else. And of course, this is something again that we see in the world that causes so many problems in the world today. Is most people don't want to do that. A lot of the problems that we see in the Middle East, things that are affecting this country and the rest of the world, are a direct result of people who don't like other people simply because of where they were born or what nationality they are or what race they are. And it's an unfortunate thing, and it's certainly something we realize that God doesn't want us to be, that doesn't want anyone in the world to partake of. And certainly this is something as a Christian that we can remind people that these kind of things don't matter. That when God looks at us, he's looking for our light. As Dennis brought out this morning, talking about the light, as Christians, we should shine we should be lights unto the world, and we should shine as bright as we possibly can. And when God looks down, that's what he sees, is our light shining. And we want to try to get as many people as we can to try to do the same thing. The last thing I'd like to point out this morning is how we can become... We ourselves can become slaves to the material things in this life. I'd like first to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Here, Jesus is talking about we have to choose sides, so to speak. We have to decide whether we're going to be for God or for the world, and that's really where the line is drawn. And as we said before, we can't sit on the fence. Jesus and God are not going to accept that. They want us to pick a side and stick to it. And we know that the side that we should pick is the side for good, the side that makes us a light so that we can shine and influence others to shine as well. I'd also like to read from a little earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In these verses, Jesus is encouraging us not to put too much stock in the physical things that we have in this life, because our love for them or our desire to have more of them, again, can lead us astray. Just as the things we talked about earlier, if we put too much stock in the things that we have in this life, it makes it harder for them to let go of them and realize the truth. I think the thing I thought of that might illustrate this is we think about a hot air balloon. You know, in a hot air balloon, if you've ever seen them, they usually have these little bags hanging on the side, and they're full of sand or lead. It's ballast. And at first, they have to have a lot of them to hold the balloon down. And when they fill it full of hot air, they have to drop a few of those off to get the balloon to rise. Now, if you think about this in the respect of going to heaven, if you're in this balloon and you want to go to heaven, you want to get rid of as much of that ballast as you can. And I'm certainly not suggesting we need to throw away all the personal property that we have, but we need to have a perspective on how much of a hold it really has on us. And I think sometimes we need to take stock of that and think, what of this, if I had to, could I let go of? And of course, the answer needs to be as much of it as we possibly can. And if there are things that we have that are too important to us, we probably need to weigh that in the balance and find out if it's something that's causing us that's leading us away from the truth. And it's important for us to understand that our treasure should be in heaven, and our desire should be to go there. So when we can lose the things that are holding us back and put them behind us, it gives us a better chance of aligning ourselves with the Scriptures and the things that God wants us to do in order to have a home in heaven. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?